Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Live Tiles Limited third quarter results conference call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Karl Redenbach, CEO and co-founder. Please go ahead, Karl.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Karl Redenbach, co-founder and CEO. I'm pleased to give an announcement this morning around our quarter Q3 update. In particular, our ARR up to $55.2 million in recurring revenue with a lifetime value of $366 million. I think a couple of things that I'd like to sort of go through today is, one, the Q3 results, but also talk generally about what COVID-19, what the current state of the market, what it means to Live Tiles, and particularly our products and our people and where we're going. The other big statement I'd like to make up front, which is a key statement, is that we have reconfirmed that Live Tiles has no requirement to raise any further capital to fund any operating cash burn. In fact, we've made it clear to the market now that due to the circumstances, due to the general market conditions, we believe it's prudent as a business and wise to make sure that we head to cash flow neutrality and cash flow positiveness as quickly as possible. The big part of doing that is a series of reductions, significant reductions across various parts of our business, which I'll ask Rowan to talk about when it comes to expenses. We'll hear from Rowan shortly. What I would say is that we now have a great opportunity not just to go through what I would call a storm of this COVID-19 scenario, but accelerate through it, through our product suite and ultimately the DNA of our company, which is actually helping other companies communicate and collaborate to their employees. Also, really importantly, allowing companies to have the systems, our digital workplace, our intelligent intranet solutions to work from home. Clearly, we see two major trends that have literally occurred overnight. One of those is that people are being forced to be isolated, whether they liked it or not. Therefore, companies are having to change the way that they treat and communicate with their employees. That's essentially, if you look at what Live Tiles does, that's what we do. In fact, last year in September, we announced to the market what we were doing around intelligent meetings, what particularly we're doing around Microsoft Teams, and some of you are probably using Microsoft Teams for the first time. That is not just video conferencing, but we have a whole bunch of solutions and technology that allow you to use your intranet without having to leave Teams. Importantly, we've been training Microsoft themselves in the U.S., in Australia, and different areas of the world, actually in 39 countries, to be precise, to actually help big and medium-sized companies adopt Teams, have the right governance and security around Teams. That's something that we do very, very well as a business. Certainly, we see that as an absolutely huge opportunity for Live Tiles. We've already had a number of organizations, especially government organizations, that we've either deployed or sold to or in the process of finalizing that we would not have had even 4 or 5 weeks ago. To us, we see that as a huge, exciting upside opportunity. Obviously, the general concern is the market conditions themselves. We do believe it will be hard in the next 2 to 3 months to close some of our very large deals. Having said that, the situation is changing quickly. We do know that just getting decisions from decision-makers in this environment is very difficult, especially on large technology acquisitions. However, the great news is that our software is designed for employee communication, collaboration, and as I said, you know, we put out even at the end of last year a working from home guide, having no idea this situation would happen. We've always had the opinion that remote working is a trend. We've always had the opinion that having a company hub and having a centralized system where you can get to your communications, where you can get to your applications is critical to every business. I think what we're seeing right now is that is being accelerated because of COVID-19 and because people are being forced to work from home. From our perspective, there is no doubt that we think in this, as we reach out of the COVID-19 scenario, that ultimately we'll have bigger budgets, that our software goes from what the company might have wanted to do over the next 2 or 3 years into a now must-have, that they must have it today. That if this scenario is longer than people expect, or if it's another flare-up, that they will need communication and collaboration tools where people can work from home and simply use an internet browser. They'll need to be able to have it connected into products like Microsoft Teams, which has had unprecedented growth in the last 6 weeks. And we've been working very closely with Microsoft around that, both in the US and Australia, two major regions, and across Europe as well. So from our perspective, we are set up very, very well. We've had to make some very tough decisions over the last 4 or 5 weeks. Firstly, with everyone in the business taking a significant pay cut, including the board, myself, all management, and every person in the business. So that was the first item of where we had to make a very serious and tough decision for the business. But the positive news that was received well by the business, every person in our company believes in our vision. They believe in where we're going. And then most importantly, we then looked at consolidating our teams. For those that don't know, we've been a hyper-growth business. We are, the Australian Financial Review published the fastest growing companies, or the fast starters and fastest growing companies, about 4 weeks ago. The good news, LiveTiles was the fifth fastest growing company overall and the fastest growing technology company on the AFR. So the Australian Financial Review said that LiveTiles is the fastest growing technology company in Australia. So that's something that we're very proud of, and certainly the hyper-growth experience has allowed us to do that. However, we're also in a very unique situation. I believe we are one of the most recession-proof businesses out there because we have over 1,000 paying subscription-based, highly valuable customers. These are blue-chip customers like the US Marines, like UK Ministry of Defence. As I said, our software is more relevant today than what it was even 6 weeks ago to these businesses. So therefore, we think we're stickier today than what we were. We certainly haven't seen any customers not renewing their service. I think it's more important to them than ever, our software. And most importantly, we have now taken the very important measure to consolidate some of our products teams, to consolidate our marketing. There's obviously expenses like travel and big event sponsorships that we typically do with Microsoft that we will not be doing this year because those events have been cancelled so far. So whilst we'll be looking at unique and innovative ways to continue our marketing. The positive news is that we're not spending those dollars in cost, so it significantly reduces our cash burn down from those events and the travel, etc. Notwithstanding, we've taken a very significant consolidation with inside our business, and also a very significant cost cut across the entire for every individual in the company when it comes to their wage. So yeah, look, and essentially, I will get Rowan to sort of communicate shortly, but for those that don't know our software, it is really about empowering employees and end users to communicate with their company, to have that centralized hub, and that's, we believe, more relevant today than ever. Last but not least, in Q3, we saw a significant number of major names from big global car manufacturer in Germany to a bunch of very large organisations, and including government organisations across the globe. What I would say is that the acquisitions that we have done and the way that we have worked has been extremely well received in market. We've continued that hyper growth. As I said, Australia's fastest growing technology company, growing faster in revenue than any other technology company in Australia. So that's a key point. And now we're at the position, and we are in the fortunate position, that we're able to consolidate our costs. And as I said, not just get through this, but accelerate through it because of the nature of what we do, because we have the Teams product, the Microsoft Teams product SKU, because we have an intranet which is more relevant today than what it was even 6 weeks ago. We believe that this is going to continue to improve. Rather than myself give you the highlights around our cash receipts, our strong cash receipts, and what we've done in relation to financials, I'm now going to ask Rowan Wilkie, our CFO, to give us an update. Thank you, Rowan.
Thanks, Carl, and hello, everybody. Thanks for joining. I'll just run through some of our key financial highlights before I get to the cash flow. As Carl said, our ARR of $55.2 million at the 31st of March is up 60% year on year and up 4.9 times when compared with 2 years ago. Firstly, N3, our inside sales contractor, we announced a couple of weeks ago that Q3 growth was achieved notwithstanding the conclusion of our partnership with N3. That impacted our ARR by approximately $4.4 million. And we've also announced that we've already taken cost actions both inside the inside sales team and elsewhere in the business to substantially offset that loss in that revenue. And our inside sales operations have now been moved to an internal operating model, better reflecting our enterprise focus. In terms of customer numbers and average contract value, customer numbers rose to 1,068 at the 31st of March, up from 1,031 at the 31st of December. And our average ARR per customer was over $51,500. And that reflected growth even after absorbing the reduction in ARR from concluding our contract with N3. One of the points that we have made in recent times, and we've been very transparent with our disclosure of the underlying assumptions, is around the lifetime value that we see from our book of annualized recurring revenue that we have grown. We estimate that at a value of $366 million based on standard SaaS operating metrics, and that reflects as of yesterday's price, so 61% discount in terms of our enterprise value to lifetime value. Our operating environment, Carl has spoken to, but just in terms of a financial update around our cash receipts, we generated customer cash receipts of $10.9 million in the March quarter. That was up 109% on the PCP, and year-to-date customer cash receipts are close to $30 million at $29.8 and up 154% on the prior year. Our trailing 12-month customer cash receipts are $37.7 million as of Q3 FY20, and that's very substantially up, as I said, on prior corresponding periods. Our operating cash flow, our net operating cash flow from operating activities was $8.8 million in the quarter, as previously announced a couple of weeks ago. Operating expenses within that of $19.4 million were above the company's guidance for $18.6 million. Largely due to movements in foreign exchange rates on a non-constant FX rate basis, operating expenses were below guidance. The key point for us is that we expect operating cash costs and our cash burn to rapidly improve in the coming quarters as a result of cost reduction initiatives that we've already taken, as well as ongoing growth that we're pursuing. Just in terms of some detail, that we had some non-operating cash items in the quarter. We made a payment to the Wisdom founders and vendors for the successful achievement of their earner, and that was $4 million, as previously announced. And we had some payments related to the acquisition of Cycle around a net cash adjustment, transaction costs, and some legal costs. In terms of a cost reduction update versus our announcement a couple of weeks ago with our flash announcement, we've accelerated our integration and we've accelerated our restructuring of our global business, including Cycle and Wisdom. We've consolidated global functions. We have a more focused product roadmap and flatter management structures. Among other items that we have implemented, we've consolidated office locations. All remaining offices are currently unoccupied and all employees have successfully switched to remote working. As Carl said, we've lowered our travel and event marketing expenses. We've reduced external contractors and consultants. And in addition to headcount reduction, we've taken temporary reductions in hours and salaries across our global workforce. We estimate the initiatives in aggregate have resulted in total annualized cash cost savings of over $18 million. And that's comprised of, firstly, we've reduced headcount by over 50 roles. And that's resulted in annualised savings of over $9 million. Those savings will commence from May 2020, excluding redundancy costs. We will have several new roles that will be required as a result of the internal restructuring, and they'll be hired in a limited way with some strong controls around that, and that has regard to our objective of achieving an operating cash flow break-even in 2020. Secondly, the impact of the 20% reduction that we've announced previously, that has an annualised cash impact of an additional $2 million. And finally, some non-employee related cost reductions are estimated to save over $7 million on that annualised basis. As Carl said, some of those savings will return in part leading to resulting from higher activity levels, but we are committed to lower expenditure patterns and making sure that we convert any new activity or spend to growing that base of recurring revenue and ultimately flowing that through into cash receipts, as I spoke to earlier. We will see, and we expect to see, an underlying reduction in cash burn commencing in the June quarter, with the quarter's savings offset partly by one-off redundancy payments. And we see the full benefit of those cost reduction initiatives middle of the calendar this year and obviously through the September quarter. A key point to make that Carl and I would like to reiterate is that we are reviewing additional options to reduce our cash burn, and that includes both short-term revenue and cost initiatives. In terms of our balance sheet and cash on hand, our cash on hand at 31st of March was $33.8 million. We put into the announcement this morning that we expect to shortly receive the R&D tax incentive amounts of approximately $5 million. We've actually now today received that cash, and that's actually a $5.6 million in our bank account. Just wanted to point out that due to successful revenue growth under the tax rules, we're no longer eligible for further R&D tax incentive payments. Finally, and you can see this in the detail of the 4C, in April the company received some COVID-related funding packages in the USA under the Paycheck Protection Program there, and also in Switzerland. The total aggregate amounts there are $2.9 million Australian. So finally, we have a very strong balance sheet, we have a strong product offering, and we're taking very substantial actions to reduce our cash burn and reach a run rate of operating cash flow break-even during calendar 2020. And as Carl noted earlier, we are reconfirming that we have no requirement to raise further capital to fund operating cash burn. So with that, I'll hand over to Ben, our operator, for any questions.
Thank you. And once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star two. And if you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Siraj Ahmed of Citi. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Carl, and thanks, Rowan, for the update. I have a few questions, but maybe just first, just touching on cash receipts for this quarter. Rowan, it came in a bit softer than we expected, especially when you think the cycle acquisition contributing at a full run rate. Just keen to understand whether this is just seasonality or is there some... Are you seeing some delays from customers on paying? And how we should think about that going forward.
Hi, Siraj. Thanks for your question. The honest answer is it is really hard to tell to what extent our cash receipts were impacted in the last, say, 10 days to 2 weeks of March by COVID. Undoubtedly, there will be some impact in there. Q3, just to remind everybody, is typically seasonally our weakest quarter for ARR growth, given the holiday breaks in all of our major markets. The changes that we've made to our operating model, to our structure, to our cash burn have been aimed at making sure that we are very strong through and post this crisis. And so we've aimed that at, should cash receipts come under pressure as they would for a number of companies in all sectors, that, we're able to withstand that. And so we haven't seen, huge or material impacts from that yet. It is very early days, but we're taking some prudent actions, notwithstanding.
Got it. And Carl, just thinking about the current environment, right? So you're saying you've not seen any churn or customers turning things off, or, it's actually been more, there's been more interest. Just keen to understand how you're thinking about it. Do you actually think churn could increase and whether there'll be net downsells as customers lose employees or reduce their headcount? Can it actually be turned off is one question, right? LiveTales, because you still need your SharePoint in this environment. I'm just keen to understand how you're thinking about that.
Yeah, correct. Well, if I was looking at most sort of, I suppose, companies, and most of our companies we work with are mid-market or enterprise type companies, there is no doubt, and that sort of represents the bulk of our ARR, there is no doubt that they will not be turning off their communication channel to employees, even for those companies that may have had to, for example, we have some airline companies that have had to stand down staff for obvious reasons. They will still continue to keep these systems operating because they need a vehicle and a way to do employee corporate communications, which is what LiveTiles does. We are the number one leader in the world in that space, which is quite handy when all you need is a browser and you can access this information, whether it's video content or other content. That's how most of our customers use our software. So from the first general sort of comment is that, yeah, there's no, and there may have been some small ones, certainly nothing material that I'm aware of any customers churning in this last 6 weeks or so since COVID-19 happened. We've had the reverse of that. We've had a lot more interest that has come out of literally the woodwork from a variety of different organisations that are trying to just get up and running and work from home quickly. Having said all of that, we do believe that on our larger deals and our very large pipeline of work, that it will be hard to close those over the next few weeks simply because, and we did think it'd have some impact in March on our ARR results in March, simply because people are having to make big decisions when they're not able to get together, and a lot of companies are just holding any spending decisions full stop. So we think that will have an impact, and I think we'd be naive not to think that there would be an impact, despite the fact I think there is no better product than us, maybe Zoom, maybe Teams, and then our product is next that you would have in this situation that these companies are in. So, we do think it's possible over time, certainly over the next 3 to 6 months, there may be some smaller companies, if we do enter into a recession, that maybe become bankrupt or just dissipate, Chapter 11s, and that may have some of what I would think small impact on ARR, but on the balance of that, I do think we're likely to also receive bigger budgets eventually, certainly in the next 6 months, and certainly more interest around having a communication centralized intranet hub uses a browser to connect and allows you to work from home. In our opinion, that's not going anywhere. In fact, certainly all the conversations we're having, deep conversations we're having with Microsoft, is that the cloud part of the business and people being able to access their stuff from the cloud is more important than ever. In fact, the companies that are struggling the most are the companies that have not thought about going to the cloud and can't deal with literally their, you know, a person that's never worked at home trying to connect somehow to the internet through their VPN or through these sort of security systems that are trying to connect to on-premise or private-based systems. So ultimately, we think this is going to be great for us. We think that ultimately there's going to be in the future bigger budgets than ever, and that business continuity is going to be about how do we keep our employees being able to be connected. And that's 100% what Livetiles does. It is literally our company. So we think ultimately on the balance of things, we see this as a positive thing for us.
Got it, Carl. And just two more questions on that. About the larger deals being delayed, that makes sense. I mean, as you said, you know, CapEx getting pushed out or big transformation projects getting pushed out. You have obviously won a few deals in the March quarter as well, right? Expect some delays for the implementation of that, because you still, you know, your partners still need to implement, let's say it's SharePoint or some digital transformation project. Do you think, you know, that could delay the actual cash receipts from that ARR that's already been booked in the March quarter?
It's certainly possible. Having said that, I would say that this is sort of changing weekly. And what we're finding, even every week, people are getting more used to working from home, which is good. And so therefore, I know in certain regions they did have pauses on projects saying, hey, we just can't get people together. Then weirdly, we've actually been helping them get through that with our tools and our tool set, which is why we talk about Microsoft Teams being able to create basic video communications, so, and our solutions around that. So from our perspective, we're expecting that some of these will slow down. We certainly don't see anything being lost. In fact, the opposite of that, we're having more, our pipeline continue to be increased as we speak, simply because people need a communication, they need to be able to work from home, and that's, you know, there is no better solution than Livetiles, we believe, on market that allows you to do that. So from our perspective, we sort of expect that over the next few weeks, but that is actually very rapidly. We know the ones that sort of halted at the back end of March, sort of start of April, now are sort of going forward. So there may be a small delay, but I don't expect anything material, and certainly I couldn't comment on it at this point otherwise, other than we don't expect any material change in the business and what we're doing now.
Got it. And just last thing from me, just monetizing the Teams and the employee communication, like, you know, the Condense app as well, right? Cycle.
Correct.
Which we think is way more useful. Can you just talk us through the actual monetization for that? Because in the near term, clearly you're focusing on, you know, helping customers implement Teams. So that's more services-based sort of revenue or building pipeline. You're just keen to understand because you have the Wisdom Enterprise project, which is more digital transformation related, and you have, you know, the Power Panel on Teams and you have Condense. Is the ARR per customer opportunity smaller? I mean, longer term or medium term, it's the opportunity is bigger, but if you were to win some customers on Teams through Power Panel and stuff, is that a smaller ARR opportunity in the near term?
Yeah, look,
how would you think about that?
Yeah. Look, I think overall, like obviously the way that we look at our intranet products, they are enterprise-wide, they're big solutions that go to everything, which is, by the way, why they're so great, because companies need them in this market, and they're also not going to turn them off. So that's the positive news there. However, when it comes to our Teams product, we are pivoting our marketing at least to focus on Microsoft Teams and all the work we've done on that, simply because it's something that is ridiculously high priority for a lot of businesses right now. We've had businesses and governments come out of the woodwork. We've signed government deals in 3 days that would have otherwise taken 3 months. And so that's the sort of stuff we're seeing, and that's all been around Teams. Without getting too technical on things, it's our Power Panel product that allows you to bring your intranet into your Teams, so you don't have to leave the Teams experience when you're working or on a conference call or on a video call. So on that basis, we certainly think that the market will be huge, be much larger, and certainly a much higher demand, despite the fact it is sold on around about sort of a 30 to 40% of a pricing of the overall large Big Bang enterprise implementation of our sort of our Wisdom products and our broader intranet suite. So certainly, we think that the demand and the hype for it, again, probably balances out the pricing on it. And ultimately what it will lead us to by getting into all of those Teams and having a lot more customers using our product through Teams is a lot larger pipeline on the back end of it as well. So in the medium to longer term, much greater ARR because we've now got our foot in the door through this Teams product. So there's no doubt that it is a huge opportunity for us to take, certainly right now at this time.
That definitely makes sense. Thanks, Carl. And thanks, Rowan, for taking my questions.
Thanks, Suraj.
Thank you. The next question comes from Cameron Halkett of Wilsons. Please go ahead, Cameron.
Morning, Carl. Morning, Rowan. Thanks for taking the time today. If I first touch on the ARR of $55.2 million, that being excluding contribution from N3, that actually suggests if you add N3 back that Q3 was quite strong in comparison to prior quarters. Can you talk about some of the drivers, in particular the timing of closing those deals? You know, were those early in the quarter or more kind of later in the quarter? It'd be good to hear around, you know, with bundling, also Microsoft Teams also made a key impact. Thanks.
Yeah, I might go first and handle some of the numbers side, FX, et cetera, and then let Carl talk to some of the thematics. So Q3 seasonally is our weakest quarter just due to natural timing of holidays and customer buying motions. During the quarter, we saw lower churn, excluding N3, which was an unusual event. We said in Q2 that we expected lower churn in Q3, and that occurred. And we grew our net customer numbers and grew our average ARR per customer, notwithstanding N3. In terms of the growth, I would also call out, we've called out FX on our OPEX. FX was a component of impact on the ARR as at 31st of March. In terms of what we saw around the timing of deals, it's always towards the end of the quarter, and this quarter was no different. We did see some impact late in the quarter in relation to COVID, particularly the last 2 weeks as most of our major markets moved to shutdown. But I might then hand over to Carl for any comments, see what you want to make.
Yeah, and that sort of that comes to our comment, and I'll answer there's no doubt that the Q3, so it was a great quarter if you look at what we did, but probably importantly, it would have been better if COVID-19, because a lot of those larger deals unfortunately have been paused simply because we're waiting to get sign-offs of larger budgets, and that became harder in that last 2 weeks of March to do that, and we believe, and some of those have already have been reinstated, even where we are today. But certainly, we think that there will be some impact on, let's say, the larger side, even over the next 2 to 3 months, depending on how fast we can get back to some sort of normality. So there's no doubt there's an impact there. The actual Teams product and the Teams, I would say, marketing pivot where we've been helping customers, the actual revenues of those have not been realised yet, certainly not in Q3. I think you'll see those come in this quarter and beyond. And really, the initial focus for us at the end of March was really just trying to help customers get up immediately, because some of them were in desperate situations where they had no technology to be able to communicate to their employees, certainly via video conference, which is, and do it securely. You've probably seen in the media Microsoft's dominance in this space, particularly when you look at the some of the things around security concerns around Zoom. So our perspective, it certainly is not realised yet. We certainly do think the Teams will have a great uptick for us over the next 6 to 12 months. And it really has changed, I think, user behaviour or employee behaviour, where now employees are going to be able to work from home, they're going to want an internet, they're going to want to be able to use Teams. And that was not the case literally 6 weeks ago. This is a real behaviour change which actually suits our whole business model.
Okay, thank you. That's really helpful. So I quickly just wrap up on N3 also. Other than the circa 4 million of ARR they bought in from their own licensing agreement, switching that off, can you provide, you know, just effectively a ballpark figure of how much they were generally reselling each year? I'm just interested to understand, you know, what effectively switching that off and going internal will have on the kind of future ARR growth going forward.
Cameron, the N3 arrangement was that they provided, putting aside their subscription to LiveTiles licenses, their arrangement was to provide inside sales services and support. So that's at the front end of a pipeline. And what we've done is we've moved, and this has not been something that has just happened in Q3, we've been increasingly moving that in-house and shifting really the right sizing of our inside sales to our enterprise sellers, our partner network, as we focus more on the enterprise market. And so, you know, we didn't disclose and we won't disclose the proportion of deals that N3 have touched. What we're saying is that we've internalized that function. It's not that we've stopped doing that that work. That work still is an important part of our enterprise software sales motion, but there's no dollar amount that they were reselling. They were supporting our direct sales teams, our employees who were ultimately closing deals.
Yeah, and look, I'll add to that. I mean, we're obviously one of the fastest, if not the fastest growing company ever, a tech company when it comes to software as a service, to get to 55 million in ARR from 4 years ago, almost zero in recurring revenue, now to 55 in a very short amount of time. And if you look at any other tech companies on the ASX, no one has grown anywhere near the speed of us. The only one that's vaguely comparable would be Xero, and we still grew faster than they did at our age, that is. And so from our perspective, you know, we've no doubt grown on a hypergrowth basis to get us to where we are. There's also no doubt that that market situation meant that we needed to make some changes, to look at some cost-cutting decisions, which we've made. And probably last but not least, as of middle of last year in July, we essentially pivoted to focusing on our partners, and we have 200-odd transacting partners, including the likes of PwC, Deloitte, and those sort of companies that do transact our product and are out marketing and selling our product on our behalf. And we really changed over to that model to reduce the cost of sale. And that's because we're a much more mature company, even though we're 4 years and a bit old, than what we were even 2 years ago. So from our perspective, that's been a key part of our strategy, the partners, to keep the cost of sales low. And certainly, you know, we still carry a very large pipeline that we expect to close over the next 3, 6, 12 months, relating to all the work that not only N3's put forward, but certainly our partner business that is now sort of building a life of its own, and we've built a real ecosystem on that basis.
Okay, thank you. Last one from me. the cash flow break-even target in calendar year 20, just to be absolutely crystal clear, that is for the 12 months between Jan and December, you're expecting operating cash flow to be break-even. And secondly, those cost changes you've implemented, you know, let's assume the economy bounces back in circa 6 to 12 months. Do the changes you've made begin to unwind as you pursue growth again, or is this more of a moderated spend and focus on profitability going forward into the medium and long term? Thanks.
Cameron, I'll take the first part and perhaps Carl can take the second. Just to be crystal clear and redirect from our announcement, we're targeting reaching the break-even point during calendar 2020, not that the entirety of calendar 2020 from 1 January to 31 December is net operating cash flow positive. Does that answer your question? Does that make that clear?
Yep, absolutely. Yep, right. That's what I wanted to
do. Yeah, no problem. And then just in terms of a return to let's say, post-COVID, I might let Carl talk about how he sees business settings.
Yeah, and look, firstly, by the way, part of what we've done now is to protect the cash balance, which was close to $34 million as of 31 March. Obviously, we've just received $5.6 million, which is $600,000 more than what we said in our report, and you know, nearly $2.9, nearly $3 million in other government funding from the Swiss government. So there's some very good cash buffer. We have a very strong cash balance sheet. And now what we've done by essentially getting to cash flow positive, or cash neutrality is the way I look at it, is that we become the masters of our own destiny. We've made a very strong statement to market that we do not want to raise capital again, and as a CEO and a shareholder, I certainly do not want to, and we want to make sure that we get what I would say a fair valuation on our business. My opinion on it is that when we have a lifetime value of $366 million, that's our lifetime value of our current contract base, which we've been growing at an extreme rate, faster than just about any other tech company on earth, you know, we certainly think that the market will start to understand that we have an incredible business, we have an incredible business model, et cetera. Now, when we look out 6 to 12 months, let's assume the economies start to come back to normality and things bounce back in some type of V-shaped recovery, which we all hope happens, in our opinion, we don't need to spend any more cash. In fact, we're in a situation where we can grow organically. We can grow at a very fast rate and do it without burning cash. And that's because of all the investments that we've made to date, the pipeline we've built, and then how we believe the market's going to shape over the next 12 to 24 months. As I said, we think there's going to be bigger budgets than ever for intranets and for employee communication and working from home arrangements. It's going to go from businesses thinking it's a nice to have these sort of cloud tools to a must have. And to us, that is the key thing here. And ultimately, you know, we think with a combination of market strength and market demand, and let's assume that the market bounces back, as I said, quickly, you know, we certainly have the situation, and we can assess that based on where we're going. But we have no intentions to go out of cash neutrality, certainly in any medium stage. So that hopefully answers the question.
That sounds very well. Thank you. I'll step out.
Thank you. And there are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back to Carl for closing remarks.
Yeah, great. Well, firstly, thank you for joining us. As I said, despite the fact this is a tough time for everybody, we're certainly as a company doing the best to support what's going on for our customers, obviously our employees, and making sure they're safe. We hope everyone stays safe. We'll keep you updated. And please have a good morning or evening or day wherever you are. And thanks for joining this call. Goodbye.